السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Honorable respected elders and brothers, every salah, every rakat, there is one dua that you are making repeatedly to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. O Allah, guide us on the straight path. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself has qualified what is the straight path. Allah ta'ala did not say sirat al-Qur'an, that this straight path is the path of the Qur'an. Allah Ta'ala did not say Sirat al-Din, that this is the path of Deen. But Allah Ta'ala said Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, the path of those whom you have favored. Who are the people that Allah Ta'ala has favored? Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, Allah Ta'ala says Al-Ladina an'ama Allahu alayhim, those whom Allah Ta'ala had favored. من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. There are four categories of people. Number one, the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. Number two, the Siddiqeen, the truthful servants of Allah. Number three, the Shuhada, those that gave their lives for the sake of Allah, the martyrs. And then Allah Ta'ala says the Salihin, the pious. If we take these three groups of people, then we will come to the conclusion that the best amongst them were undoubtedly the ashab and the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We mentioned this before, that if we do a rough calculation of a 60-year life of a person that reads his salat, his fara'is, his sunnats, his wajib, then we will come to the conclusion that over 60 years in our salat, either the imam is going to recite or we are going to recite over 500,000 times, we are asking Allah Ta'ala for hidayat. We are asking Allah Ta'ala for this path. So on the one hand, we make the dua, but on the other hand, there seems to be a misty vision insofar as who these people are. These sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not only were those that were guided by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the sirat mustaqim, these sahaba were those people about whom Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that Allah Ta'ala had made their iman the criteria of iman till the day of qiyamah. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ Turn the page of the Quran after you read Ihdinas Siratal Mustaqim. Right there at the very beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is saying that if and when the munafiqun were told that bring iman, how should they bring iman? Kama amana nas, like how mankind, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had brought iman. It is clear, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدِهْ تَدَوْ. Turn the pages of the Quran, there in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak about the Ahl Kitab, the Yahud and the Nasara. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا, if they had brought iman, بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ, like how you, O Sahaba, O Ashabi Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had brought iman, فَقَدِهْ تَدَوْ, they would have found that hidayat. And you and I, if we bring that caliber of iman, if we bring iman in all those things that Sahaba had brought iman, and if we understand that they are the criteria of iman, we follow the footsteps of Sahaba, then undoubtedly we will come to that we will be guided by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The second aspect with regards to Sahaba is that it was not coincidental that a Sahabi happened to be existing, living during the nubuwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It wasn't as though Sayyidina Abu Bakr by an accident coincidentally happened to be there. Or for that matter Sayyidina Umar, or for that matter Sayyidina Uthman, or Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum. But each Sahabi was handpicked by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Each Sahabi was chosen by Allah Ta'ala. It comes in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba used to say about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and this choosing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the knower of everything. But yet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala looked into the hearts of the ibad, of the slaves, of the servants of Allah. And then Allah Ta'ala found the most purest heart, being the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hence Allah Ta'ala chose him to be the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. And then again, Allah Ta'ala looked into the hearts, after choosing Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, of all the slaves and servants of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the Ashabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He chose the Sahaba. He chose the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in to be there and to accept iman at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was no mistake or no coincidence that Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu from Habash, from Abyssinia, he had come to Makkah by mistake. It was no mistake that Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu had come into the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was not a coincidence that Sayyidina Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu had come and it just happened. Allah had handpicked, Allah Ta'ala had chose each one of these Sahaba, and the criteria that Allah Ta'ala used was the hearts of the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif at the end of Surah Fatah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل. The ayat in itself is so rich about various aspects of our deen that Allah is saying that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the Rasul of Allah. This group of people, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, those that were with him, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, Allah ta'ala describes them now, that they were such people that amongst themselves they were compassionate, against the enemy they were firm and they were stern. And then tarahum rukkan sujjada, you will always find them in the ibadat of Allah. You will find them either making ruku', You will find them making sujood. You will find them standing in qiyam. But they are always in the ibadat of Allah. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the outer of sahaba. And then Allah Ta'ala says, يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمًا وَرِضْوَانًا, that they had gone, look at to the hearts, and you will find that they were in pursuit of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's mercy, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's pleasure, Allah Ta'ala's ridwan. Now, on the other hand, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala speaks about it, that when you looked at their faces, you could see very clearly that the faces had the effects of total obedience of Allah. Now Allah Ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ مَثَلُهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَمَثَلُهُمْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ, that is their example in the Torah and the example in the Injil. Torah revealed to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam many years before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, over 2000 years. And then Injil, over 600 years before Sahaba, before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala described the Sahaba already to the people of the past. In other words, in the eternal knowledge of Allah, Allah had already chosen the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Just one or two examples for us to understand this. In the time of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he dispatched an army to a particular Christian area. When this army had come, as per the hukam, the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the first thing is, give the da'wat of the kalima. Tell them to accept iman, tell them to accept Islam. If they deny, they refuse to accept iman and Islam, then tell them to pay the protective tax, what is called the jizya, the levy. And we will protect you from any harm. We will protect the borders of your town, your city, or whatever it may be. And then if not, then only would you take as a third option to fight against them. Now Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu had sent this group. In this group, there were sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When they went there, they gave them the first option. The Christians refused to accept Islam. They gave them the second option. Pay the protective tax. They said, yes, that we will pay because we know we cannot fight you. So they began to pay for the life of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu during his lifetime. They paid this. There in Damascus, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu leaves this world. And now the successors of Sayyidina Muawiyah, every year in the time of Muawiyah, he would send the people to collect the tax, to collect the levy. They would pay it very happily, no questions asked. They would have it ready. But no sooner does Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu pass on. And now the successor of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu sends his collectors. Now the Christians say, now we will not pay the tax. Why would you not pay the tax? Now we prefer to fight you. But why? So the reply was, we look at your faces and we looked at their faces. There was a vast difference. There is a vast difference. You don't seem to be from the same stock. سِمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ ذَلِكَ مَثَلُهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَمَثَلُهُمْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ. This is how Allah Ta'ala described the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Torah, in the Injil. They had that description, they had known about it. When Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had come to the wall of Palestine, of Palestine, Al-Quds, and now they lay besiege, they seize the city. The city is all surrounded by Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. It dawns upon Sahaba that let us call Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It happened in his khilafat. Let us call upon Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu to now negotiate and whatever runs further than this. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu gets the letter. He realizes that in this is a very great wisdom. And hence Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu makes that monumental trip from Madinah Tayyibah to Palestine. And he comes to the wall of the city. The chief priest of the city comes out when he comes to know that Amirul Mu'mineen has reached. He looks at the face of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And in looking at the face of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, unfortunately, to quote his words, he says, by God, this is the exact description we find of the conqueror of Al-Quds in our scriptures. That is how par excellent, that is to such detail that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had described Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum in the kitabs of the past. So the point actually is that it was not an ad hoc decision of Allah to choose Sahaba at that time. Allah ta'ala in His eternal wisdom, in His eternal knowledge, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had already handpicked, already chosen Sahaba. He had seen these hearts of Sahaba. He had known. But yet Allah ta'ala makes it that we understand that each and every Sahaba was handpicked by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. At this point, there just needs to be a point of reflection in my life and your life. That if a Christian could see that this is Umar ibn al-Khattab, and if a Christian could see that this is according to the wahi of Allah ta'ala, you and I as an ummah, we need to open our eyes and look at Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum in the way Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has commanded us to look at Sahaba. Follow Sahaba the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has commanded us to follow Sahaba. Practically every Jum'ah we hear the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah, Allah fi ashabi, لا تتخذوهم غردا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم. Many of us may think that when the Imam says Allah, Allah, he probably is making some dua to Allah Ta'ala, but that is not the case. It is اتقوا الله يا أمتي. O my Ummah, fear Allah with regards to my Sahaba. Fear Allah means that you have to have your aqidah, your belief 100% as Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had chalked it out. Number two is that you should never find لا تتخذوهم غردا من بعدي, that do not make them targets of abuse after me. Targets of abuse means that do not speak ill, do not think ill about my ashab, because فمن أحبهم فَبِحُبِّي أَحَبَّهُمْ. Whoever loves them, they love them because they love me. It is because of your love and my love that we have for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would have love for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. It is something that you and I need to take cognizance of. A person by the name of Carlos, a non-Muslim, a Christian, an enemy of Islam, when he spoke about Sahaba and he spoke about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said it baffles the human mind that in a period of 23 years, people who were ungovernable, there was no one that wanted to govern the Sahaba, there was no one that wanted to govern Arabia because of the indecencies that were taking place, the ills and all the wrongs that were taking place, and they were ungovernable. But comes Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in the short period of 23 years, he made every one of his companions a leader. That is that miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, every sahabi has been certified by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So hence, فَمَنْ أَحَبَّهُمْ فَبِحُبِّ أَحَبَّهُمْ وَمَنْ أَبْغَضَهُمْ فَبِبُغْضِي أَبْغَضَهُمْ. And whoever has enmity against the sahaba, any one sahabi for that matter, it is because of his enmity for me. So brothers and friends, we need to understand and realize that each sahabi is worthy of our love. And the more we love the ashab, the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the greater we will find our path open towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Going further into another aspect of our iman, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had stated, Ahibbullah, love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why should you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One reason that is given in this hadith is because of the innumerable favors that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you. Now if you and I take stock of all the favors that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon us, we will be blind not to see it. But there are many favors that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon us that we don't see. And in lieu of that, we ought to have this genuine love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Qayyim rahimahumullah has written that our journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like a bird that flies from point A to point B. A bird needs three things. One is life, and it requires two wings. Love for Allah ta'ala is like the life of a bird. A believer who does not have love for Allah ta'ala is like a dead person. A dead bird cannot fly. A dead heart cannot reach Allah ta'ala. And the two wings, one is that of the hope of the mercy of Allah, and the other is the khawf and the fear of Allah ta'ala. Further, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, love me because of your love for Allah. Love me because of your love for Allah. And then he said, love my ahle bayt, love my family because you have love for me. Now at the outset, you and I need to understand that who are the ahle bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. According to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, all the children of the Banu Hashim, every member of the Banu Hashim who had embraced Islam, accepted Islam, their offspring, their progeny, and including the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, each one of them are regarded as the Ahle Bayt, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has commanded us that we have the love for them. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say that I get greater joy in creating a relationship with the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam rather than creating a relationship with my own family. Not that he had cut off ties with his family. He loved his family, but he loved the Ahle Bayt, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, greater than he loved his own family. Now, sometimes during the course of life, we come across articles and we come across people that try to concentrate love to the Ahle Bayt at the expense of the love for the Sahaba. It is like saying that a child can love his mother, but in order to love his mother, he should hate his father. That is not the kind of heart Allah Ta'ala has given. A man can love his parents, a man can love his wife, he can love his siblings, he can love his children, he can have multiple loves in his heart. And hence, our love for the Ahle Bayt will never be at the expense of the love of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. We are often made to believe that we cannot love the Sahaba because we love the Ahle Bayt. And we are made to believe that there was a constant conflict between the Ahle Bayt and the Sahaba. I'm going to run through a few examples to show the kind of relationship the Ahle Bayt had with the Sahaba and the Sahaba had with the Ahle Bayt radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Let us take the example of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Once Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, we know that after he had become the Khalifa, there was turmoil in the Ummah. People had left the fold of Islam, they renegated, people refused to give zakat. There was this persistent fear that there will be an onslaught, an attack on Medina Munawwara. And then it was the army of Usama bin Zayd that had to leave and go towards Al-Sham, towards Al-Quds. And all of that was difficulties that he was facing in his Khilafat. Nonetheless, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu decides to join an army to check the onslaught of the renegades. And he is on his conveyance. He is now ready to leave in the path of Allah. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes and he holds on to the rein of Sayyidina Abu Bakr's animal. And he says, and listen to the words, O Khalifatul Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bear in mind, only one person in this ummah had the quality and the title of Khalifatul Rasul, and that was Sayyidina Abu Bakr, O Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After him, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Uthman, Sayyidina Ali, they became known as Amirul Mu'mineen. Their relationship was the leadership of the believers, but his relationship was the vicegerent, the successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, "O Khalifatul Rasul, where are you going to?" Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu responded, "I'm going out in the path of Allah. I'm going to fight and check the onslaught of the renegades." Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Khalifatul Rasul, should I remind you of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of Uhud?" At the time of Uhud, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "O Abu Bakr, put your sword back into its sheath." In other words, put your sword back and do not cause grief for the ummah with your loss. That if you leave this world at this time, the ummah will be at a loss. And I'm reminding you about those words. So Khalifatul Rasul put that sword back and returned to Madinah Tayyibah if there was any conflict. Would Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu remind him of those words? Would he be concerned about the preservation of the life of Sayyidina Abu Bakr? It was not usual for a Sahabi to stop another Sahabi from going out in the path of Allah. This is an unusual thing. But Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is reminded by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That is the type of mutual understanding they had. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu relented, and of course he turned back to Madinah Munawwara. The time when Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was leaving this world, he is now in his deathbed and he addresses the ummah that is standing around and he says to them that I have chosen a successor after me. Are you people pleased with my choice? Would you accept my choice? Those sahaba that were around in one single voice, they said, "O Khalifatul Rasul, undoubtedly we will accept that choice." One voice, just one voice, made a statement thereafter. "We will accept it so long as after you it is Umar ibn al-Khattab." And that one voice was the voice of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So who can say that there was mutual discord between the Ahle Bayt? Because Sayyidina Ali is from the Ahle Bayt. Sayyidina Umar is from the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And I'll just give one more example for us to understand that this relationship between them was such a relationship, impeccable, par excellent, that could never be broken. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the narrator, and he narrates that the time had come when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu leaves this world. We know the circumstances under which he left this world, performing the Fajr Salat. Firoz Abu Lulu stabs him, he remains ill for a few days, profuse bleeding, and then he gives his life to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that everyone was grieving this moment, that now this glorious Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu has come to an end. And then he said, "I heard a person murmur, and then somebody taps me on my shoulders, and that person is saying to me, 'Oh Abdullah, I would wish that if ever I reach Allah, I will be happy to reach Allah with the records of this person, the book of deeds of this person, then I know I will be successful.'" In other words, 100% the life of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was such a life that I would like to take his book of deeds and go to the courts of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Brothers and friends, there were never any discord between the Sahaba and the Ahl Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The important issue is that Allah ta'ala has given us different lights and different lamps of guidance. And the best light and the best lamp of guidance is the ashab, the companions, the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. May Allah ta'ala give us that spiritual illumination for us to see beyond what we see and go back to the lives of sahaba, study the lives of sahaba, understand the kind of priorities that sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had. After all, Allah ta'ala had made the iman the criteria of iman till the day of qiyamah. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.